Congress established the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis. The Bureau's mandate is to investigate complaints by citizens against banks, mortgage companies, credit card companies, and other financial institutions. The Trump administration now wants to rein in those protections. The CFPB's interim director is a man who once sought to abolish the agency. GLT's Judy Valente reports at what's at stake for McLean County residents.
Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts helped establish the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. This is Warren in a video message congratulating the Bureau on its sixth anniversary.
After the financial crash, when Congress was writing the new financial regulations, we got out there and fought to make the CFPB part of it. The banks hated it, hated it. They spent more than $1 million a day for over a year lobbying against the financial reforms, and the consumer agency was right at the center of the target for them. But we fought back. We fought hard.
President Trump has now appointed Mick Mulvaney to be interim director of the CFPB. Mulvaney is also the White House budget director. As a South Carolina congressman, Mulvaney drafted legislation to abolish the agency, calling it a, quote, joke in a sick, sad way. Here is Mulvaney speaking to reporters and staff on his first day on the job last November.
Anybody who thinks that a Trump administration CFPB would be the same as an Obama administration CFPB is simply being naive. Elections have consequences.
Under the CFPB's previous administrator, Richard Cordray, the agency investigated more than 1 million complaints against financial companies. It returned an estimated $12 billion to consumers. Consumer advocates worry those days are over. In a memo to staff, Mulvaney said the Bureau needs to act with, quote, more humility and moderation.
What is happening now with the CFPB is the interim director is actually discouraging enforcement of regulations.
Stacy Tutt is an attorney who heads the Community Preservation Clinic at the University of Illinois. The clinic offers free legal services to people in disputes with mortgage banks and servicers.
So there were a number of actions being taken against large banks and other institutions for predatory practices, but the director has encouraged that to stop and that the CFPB should be acting more humble.
Here in McLean County, the CFPB has investigated 169 citizen complaints in the past 6 years. The investigations involve some of the nation's largest financial institutions, including Bank of America, Citibank, Wells Fargo, and PNC Bank, which has numerous branches in central Illinois and had the largest number of complaints against it. Complaints range from difficulty closing accounts to erroneous credit card reports and improper sharing of financial information. Tutt says one of the advantages of having the CFPB is that the agency maintains a large database of complaints and can track patterns of systemic problems.
There is an imbalance right now between consumers and the various providers of products. To give an example right now, that one consumer against a large credit reporting agency has difficulties in getting things changed or corrected for them because of the fact that the credit reporting agencies have far more resources than an individual does.
One of the main areas of complaint in McLean County involves the servicing of mortgage loans. Tutt says the CFPB tries to protect homeowners seeking loan modifications to avoid foreclosure.
The CFPB put in additional regulations in order to provide borrowers greater protections.
Those regulations helped one McLean County woman who had fallen behind on mortgage payments while dealing with medical costs for her husband. Lucy did not want her full name used because of the embarrassment she said she feels about facing foreclosure.
We had a lot of catastrophic medical expense, and so financially we had moved through virtually all of our resources and our savings.
Lucy and her husband moved from their multi-level home to a single-story rental property that was easier for her husband to navigate. When they could not sell their first home, they dropped further into debt. They tried to work with their mortgage lender to modify their home loan. That began a 4-year ordeal.
We began to communicate very regularly with the mortgage company, and they would offer a specific program, and we would fill out all the paperwork for that program and file it. And I would call and make sure there was nothing else they needed. And then we'd get a form letter in the mail that said that we had been denied that program with really no specific explanation.
Lucy did not want to disclose her lender's name because her case remains ongoing. She says at one point she had a buyer for the home, but the mortgage lender rejected that offer. She then tried to deed the home to the lender, a procedure known as a deed in lieu of foreclosure. It would mean sacrificing the money she had put into the home over 20 years, but allow the lender to sell the property. Lucy says the lender rejected that option as well, and instead locked her out of her home. It was then that Lucy went to Stacy Tutt at the University of Illinois Legal Clinic.
They're not actually allowed to lock the homeowner out of the property unless they have a court order that allows them to do so. They could try to show to the court that it's vacant or abandoned, but that clearly wasn't the case here in Lucy's situation. She was clearly working to maintain the property, had a realtor with a lockbox and everything to allow for the marketing of the property.
Tutt says Lucy's home deteriorated during the time it was under her lender's care.
Lucy had put in to the property a few thousand dollars before putting it on the market. However, once the mortgage servicer took control of the property, it quickly began to deteriorate. There was windows left open and broken that then allowed water and the elements to come into the property and cause it to become more run down and deteriorate and less valuable.
The University of Illinois Legal Clinic threatened to sue on Lucy's behalf under rights given to her by the Consumer Financial Protection Board.
If the CFPB regulations were not in place, she would lose a number of her private rights of action against the mortgage servicer for the deterioration of her property and the mismanagement of her case.
GLT News reached out to the Mortgage Bankers Association for comment on complaints the CFPB has investigated against mortgage companies. We received no response. PNC Bank, one of the largest local lenders, issued a statement saying, quote, "At PNC, we strive to deliver an exceptional customer experience that will help our customers achieve financial well-being. At times, if a customer is experiencing an issue, we work to help clarify, remove complexity, and come to a resolution." Another area where the CFPB interim director Mick Mulvaney has pulled back on enforcement involves payday loan and car title loan companies. These companies make short-term loans, often to people with poor credit, at interest rates of 300% or higher. Here's Mulvaney discussing his mandate from President Trump and his vision for the Consumer Bureau.
Protect people without trampling on capitalism, without choking off the access to financial services that are so critical to so many folks.
Consumer advocate Don Carlson of Illinois People's Action, a social justice group, says that philosophy contradicts the mandate Congress set for the CFPB as an independent consumer protection agency.
The Trump administration really has intentionally, in a concerted effort, to take away any kind of meaningful consumer protections from borrowers, especially low-income and working-class borrowers.
Under Mulvaney, the CFPB scrapped an investigation into the marketing and lending practices of one of the biggest payday lenders in his home state of South Carolina. And it ended another case against a group of lenders in Kansas accused of charging interest rates of nearly 1,000%. Mulvaney also put a series of proposed regulations affecting the industry on hold. Federal election records show that as a congressman, Mulvaney accepted more than $441,000 in campaign contributions between 2010 and 2016 from banks, credit card companies, and other finance groups, including short-term lenders. Mulvaney has said those donations have not affected his decisions as CFPB's interim director. Carlson of Illinois People's Action says short-term, high-interest lending is a particular problem in Illinois.
There are, in the state of Illinois, more payday and car title predatory stores than there are McDonald's, Burger King, Starbucks, Hardee's, fast food stores, and coffee stores in the state. And that should be a shocking thing to consider.
Illinois People's Action says 77,000 car title loans are issued each year in Illinois. Under the terms of those loans, borrowers put up their autos as collateral. Carlson says about a third of those loans end up in default.
For people with bad credit and limited income, they're just saying, hey, we'll give you the money and give us your car title.
Billy Ashmeller of Springfield is one of the people who found it hard to pay back her car title loan. She lives on disability income of $750 a month. She says she took out a $1,000 loan to help her pregnant daughter buy a crib, car seat, and other necessities for the coming baby. Ashmeller says she knew she would end up paying back more than three times that amount because of her 300% interest rate.
I knew I was going to make payments forever. And at the time, I was a mother desperate. You know, I wanted to make sure my child was going to be okay and my grandbaby. And it was available, you know. It was there. And I said, well, I'm going to do it.
After about a year, Ashmeller says she fell behind on the loan payments. That's when the calls from the car title lender started coming.
Not only were they calling me like every day, you know, then they started calling my family. They called everybody I listed on the application for the loan as personal references. They called my best friend. They called my dad. They called my aunt, you know.
Ashmeller gave up her small apartment and started sleeping at friends' homes or in her car, all in an effort to save money for her loan payments. There was another reason, too, for sleeping in her vehicle.
I slept out in the car because I was worried that they were going to come take it. I kept thinking if they come repossess my vehicle and I'm in it, they can't take it. Then I was like hide it in backyards and alleys.
After 2 years, Ashmeller was able to finally pay off her loan by selling her car. What started as a $1,000 loan ended up costing her more than $3,000. Now she has no car, something she says restricts her ability to find a part-time job.
I am afraid to get another car.
Earlier this year, CFPB Interim Director Mulvaney put on hold a set of rules that would have forced short-term lenders to determine whether a borrower could afford to repay the loan in full with interest within 30 days. The Bureau also wanted to cap the number of loans the same borrower could take out over a period of time. Carlson of Illinois People's Action says it is now unlikely that the Financial Protection Bureau will follow through on any of those proposals. Here's Mulvaney at a press conference talking about his intent to rein in the Bureau.
I still have the same fundamental principled misgivings about the way this Bureau is structured. I think it is wrong to have a completely unaccountable federal bureaucracy.
Carlson says it's now up to individual states to try to restrict the high-interest, high-default loans that payday and car title lenders offer. Illinois State Senator Kimberly Lightford of the Chicago suburbs and Representative Christian Mitchell of Chicago have introduced legislation that would cap car title loan interest rates at 36%. Their proposal would also establish maximum loan term limits and create customer protections in the event of car repossession. Jamie Fulmer is Senior Vice President of Advance America, a short-term lender with 30 locations in Illinois, doing about 10 million loan transactions a year.
Overwhelmingly, in the 20 years in which we've been doing business, customers have demonstrated great satisfaction for the products and services that we offer.
Fulmer says his industry is already regulated on the state level and that consumers know what they're getting into when they sign for these loans.
You know, we go to great lengths to make sure that the customer understands, you know, not only the out-of-pocket cost of the products and services that we offer, but the associated percentage rates. I think that there's this perception that we don't do any type of underwriting or assessment of ability to repay, and that's just not the experience that we have in the marketplace.
Fulmer accuses the CFPB in the Obama years of trying to destroy the short-term loan industry with strangling regulation.
I mean, the inconsistent application and the confusion that would have ensued would have been, you know, bad for customers, and by the CFPB's own admission, would have eliminated 60-70% of the industry's volume, and as a result, would have put the industry out of business.
Fulmer says less than 3% of the complaints placed with the Consumer Protection Bureau have been directed against short-term lenders. But pressing a complaint in court against a lender or other financial institution has gotten harder in recent months. Last October, the Republican-led Senate, following the House of Representatives, voted along party lines to repeal a CFPB rule that would have allowed consumers to join together to sue financial institutions. Most financial companies have contract clauses that force customers to use arbitration during disputes. Banks lobbied heavily to kill the CFPB rule allowing customer class action suits, saying arbitration is cheaper in the end for their customers. In a speech last October in Congress, Senator Warren said forced arbitration is mainly less expensive for financial companies.
The banks and their lobbyists have actually got the gall to claim that they want to kill the rule because it's bad for their customers. You know, that claim is just plain laughable. According to a rigorous three-year-long CFPB study, consumers recovered an average of $540 million annually from class action settlements, while they received less than $1 million annually in the arbitration cases that the agency reviewed. It's not even close.
There is also no appeal process for consumers in arbitration cases. Local consumer advocates like Stacy Tutt of the University of Illinois point to another problem with forced arbitration. Financial companies hire and pay the arbitrator's fees.
The person providing the arbitration services is actually paid typically by the large business that the consumer is having a dispute with. That then creates a bias in the system and an imbalance that is difficult then for consumers to get the relief that they're entitled to.
Consumers remain worried about the future. Billy Ashmeller, who lost her car because of a title loan, says she hopes the state will adopt stricter regulations involving short-term loan companies, even if the federal government does not. And Lucy, the homeowner who is in a mortgage refinancing dispute, says she is concerned about what will happen to her and others in a similar situation if banks and mortgage lenders prevail in getting additional consumer protections reduced. She worries she now won't be able to band together with other consumers to force those companies to become more responsive.
We were not alone in this process. Just getting on the internet, I just found so many families that were having the same issues with these servicers, identical situations in how they were responding, not being heard. And it was so refreshing when we found the clinic and spoke to Stacy for the very first time. I just have to say how unburdened I felt, that there was help out there, that it wasn't just me.
But even the future of Tutt's Community Preservation Legal Clinic is uncertain. Tutt says she only has funding through next August. I'm Judy Valente.
The Community Preservation Clinic's funding came in large part from a $400,000 grant it received as part of a larger settlement the Illinois Attorney General's Office reached with five of the nation's largest banks. The banks faced allegations of fraudulent practices involving improper foreclosures.